Glory to God. Psalm 82, 83, and 84 talk about a atmosphere of being in a courtroom. At least how I see it, reading it. Psalm 82, the courtroom is the earth, where man is the judge and kind of poorly doing so. Psalm 83, the courtroom is again the earth, but now God being invited to be the judge. Psalm 84 is the courtroom of heaven, where grace triumphs. Triumphs over judgment. And we see the goodness of God. We sang about it this morning in the grace of God. So let's begin with Psalm 82. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, lowercase g. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? So the framework here is a courtroom. He's talking to and about the people that are in positions of power, the lawyers, the ones that are rulers. It's not the gods as in false gods in this case, although the Bible definitely addresses that. That's not what's being addressed here by Asaph in Psalm 82. The Psalm of Asaph is the title there. And he was a seer, a prophet of the Old Covenant in the Old Testament. And you see his songs in there. We're just finishing a series of them, actually. And he was a contemporary of David. He would have known David and actually written songs with David. And so his topic here is the people that are ruling, in particular Israel, the nation of Israel, and the people that are appointed as judges over the people. How long will you judge unjustly? So it makes sense when you read the second verse. It's not about false gods. And accept the persons of the wicked. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Just talking to Gretchen about a particular individual that was in great need this morning and realizing that the list she had was immense and lengthy, and just realizing we're all kind of in that place. We all are in need. We're all needy people, and as tough as us guys like to be, especially sometimes that we could pull up our bootstraps and we can make it work and all that, we need each other. We are needy, and we see that God has appointed government for that reason, because of the needs of man. Because we're a needy people, you see the appointment of governments. And so we're going to get into that discussion a little bit political, some of this today, but that's where the script has us, that scripture has us today. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. So these people that have been appointed this place are to be reflectors of the truth of God. But they've gone off course. They don't know what's going on. They've entered into a place of darkness and confusion, and you have the blind leading the blind, as a proverbial saying is. I have said, ye are gods, in verse 6, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. The courtroom here is the earth. God has allowed governments to rule. In fact, he's ordained them. That means he's appointed. He's allowed them to be appointed, risen up, and structured for the needs of the people. And here we see the report card of man being a judge is poor. It's an F minus. Not doing well. Accepting the persons of the wicked, verse 2 and verse 3 and 4, neglecting the things they're supposed to do, which are defending the poor, the fatherless, those that are in great need, afflicted and needy. Well, that's an awesome thing of having government. And Romans 13 talks about these things are appointed by God. These people are appointed by God. Where the confusion comes in is when there's a separation of realizing that. That God has ordained government, and government isn't something of itself, and government ordains God. You know, government appoints a church and those kind of things. So you hear arguments about separation of church and state, and we know a long history of where there's been governments that have appointed churches and done very poorly at that. But just the opposite here, God has ordained governments. God has ordained governments to reflect his righteousness.
So it is right. It is right that we have in our House of Representatives behind Nancy Pelosi, who's speaking sometimes up at the podium, "In God We Trust," right above her head. There was some fake news that went out just recently that said she tried to take that down. That was fake news. She didn't try to do that. Come on in. How you doing, Mike?
Came in the wrong door.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
How you doing?
So yeah, Nancy Pelosi. No, just a. I'll rewind a little bit. Nancy Pelosi, don't run away. Actually, we're on the topic of recent news. It was fake news that was announced that she tried to take down an emblem that's over the House of Representatives, way up high, bold, "In God We Trust." And it's become a motto of our nation. It was ratified in the 1950s by Dwight Eisenhower when he realized that this communist regime, this godless, atheistic regime was racing them to the moon, was racing them in arms, and said, "Why are we different?" Eisenhower having that time of reflection, representing the whole nation, saying, "This is how we're different. In God we trust." So you'll see that on every piece of money that you have, every coin, every bill. In the early 1800s, that started to appear. Then after that time of being ratified, now all of our currency has it. And there's a Facebook following. You can follow them, "In God We Trust." That's a whole group of people that are, hey, let's keep this motto going. And there's people that try to sue and fight against it. But the topic here is Psalm 82, and we're talking about the courtroom of earth, where man has been appointed into these positions of government. And God would declare and call them gods with a lowercase g. Why does he do that? Well, let's study the word Elohim. That is the word that's used for in this word where you see God. The translation is Elohim in the Hebrew. So let's take a little word study here and build some of the foundation into our topic today in this particular psalm. That will bring us all the way back to Genesis. The word God is used 2,600 times just in the Old Testament. And there it is in the first verse, of course. And that word for God is Elohim. That's not mentioning the name of God or different references to God indirectly or those type of things. That's just the title of God. And that comes from the word El, and you'll see E-L in a lot of different names, places, and people's names. Ezekiel and all the different types of names and places, you'll see that word El in there. That's the short of it. But the proper Elohim, that's a bringing the majesty of God. And it speaks to power, majesty, supreme. And you see a reflection of that if you ever got to be in a courtroom, whether serving a jury or in a witness stand, or God forbid you're accused of something and you're there, that you've seen somebody come in that is absolutely supreme. And there's a lot of respect given to that person. He's called the judge. And that's the idea here of Elohim. He's the judge of what's right and wrong. And when we separate ourselves from that, our government will become corrupt. And we'll have what verse 6 is talking about back in Psalm 82. I'm sorry, verse 5. "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course." So we lose our moorings, our anchorings, our stability when that is severed. When man is so filled with himself and pride, that he says, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And all sorts of confusion happens. When we get anchored into God, our moorings are in him, the stability comes and things are right again. In God we trust. So here we see, back to Genesis 1, flipping back here a little bit, back and forth. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth." And it says, God did this, God did this, he created this. And what is being brought forward is this God who is a judge, who is a knower of right and wrong, created everything around us. He's the creator also, and he's the progenitor. He's the beginning of everything. Fast forwarding to verse 26 of chapter 1 in Genesis, we see what Elohim did in his creation, that he made me and you. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." That's Adam. Adam refers to man. That's
mankind. And God said, let us make man, or Adam, in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So all of God's creation, less man. What you don't notice here is that God isn't appointing governments yet, is he? It came after the fall, and it was necessary because of the fall. Man became needy. Man started to pursue after the things that were on that tree of right and wrong. So we needed government after the fact here. But until that time, we had a type of government, what was just over fish. It was just over the birds and the worms and the creepy crawly things, and the onions in the garden, all of that stuff. We had dominion over those things. So there was a form of government, but it wasn't over man yet. And it wasn't intended to be. Of course, it was good, because everything was good at this point. He appointed us over the garden to tend it. Then after sin and the fall here, chapter 3 of Genesis, serpent deceiving, Adam willfully sinning, he sneaks out this word, and this is the first time Elohim is used in a different way. Verse 4, the serpent lying to Eve. I don't have my glasses, so it's taking me a little time, sorry. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as Elohim. Praise God. Ye shall be as Elohim, or gods, lowercase g, knowing good and evil. So that's the first total different use of Elohim. We're made in Elohim's image. Elohim created. God has created. We're made in his likeness. And now you see something else being said. We've already been made in his likeness, but this type of promise, you can be like God in this different way of knowing good and evil, something God didn't want for us to have, that particular thing. So what was being withheld from us was tempting to deceive Eve, and Adam willfully took it. And now we have the entrance of this lowercase g. Mankind, created in the image of God, but knowing good and evil. Quite a strange mixture. But that's the reality we have. And that's the explanation of all the wars around you and of all the evil around us, is in the first couple of chapters of Genesis. This is the foundation, folks. This is the foundation of why we have governments today and why God has purposed them and what they're for. Back to Psalm 82. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. And now we know that's us. These are the people that are appointed to manage other people. And this affects all of us. If you're a parent, if you're a teacher, this is from the family on up to the big government, communities, all of this. We need to have this type of government. We need people overseeing people because of these things, because of sin. We're to defend, we're to deliver, and we're not to accept or approve wickedness. Those are the basic three things of government there in Psalm 82 being established. God sets us in our place here. We know because of the fall that, yes, we have this God-likeness of knowing right and wrong, and we do poorly at it. But he reminds us that we're going to die like men. That death is because we're not to continue in this state of corruption forever. That's even God's grace, that God would pronounce prescribed death unto mankind, not to leave us into a place of eternally being on this earth in the state that we are. Could you imagine that? Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. So this brings us into the next, this is the lead into the next particular Psalm 83. This is still the courtroom of earth, but now bringing God as the judge back in. And the prayer goes this way, keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederated against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes and Jebal and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines with inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also, that's actually the tribe of Asher there, is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Oh, kind of a pause, kind of a sigh almost there. Do unto them as the Midianites, as to Caesarea, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon. Now, he's going to bring into remembrance the things that God has done as deliverer, as defender, as the one that doesn't approve of wickedness, as the ultimate governor, as the supreme one that enters into the courtroom. He's going to bring into this remembrance of when God has acted in these ways. Which perished at Endor, they became as dung for the earth. One of these battles in particular, looking these up, was really cool, that God simply just caused a rainstorm. They had 900 iron chariots, and these were the Sherman tanks of the time and the Apache helicopters of that day. How could you fight against a big iron chariot coming at you 40, 50 miles an hour with an archer ready to hit you with an iron helmet on? You know, just awesome, powerful, 900 chariots coming at you. You don't have a horse to stand on. You're there with your sword. You know, what's going to happen? It just rains. Just rains. Chariots get stuck in the mud. No four-wheel drive. They're all stuck and they're sitting ducks. What are we going to do now? Now the swordsmen, they totally wiped them out. So it's just a rainstorm. And God delivers, he defends, and he approves not of the things that are wicked. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb, yes, all their princes as Zeba and as Alumina, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. Let them blow away, let them roll away. As the fire burns a wood, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire, let them be consumed. So persecute them with thy tempest, that's that whirlwind, consuming fire, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, you God, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. This is, you can imagine, the courtroom is rising now to God. The confusion, the darkness, things being taken off course from Psalm 82. It's like, what is going on? People don't know what bathroom to use. What is happening? This is confusing. This is a weird world. Things are strange. And Psalm 83 is bringing things back into that type of alignment here. This also reminds me of a testimony just recently came yesterday morning. I had forgotten last summer as a kind of project. The invitation went out to join in a psalm project. You might remember this. That if there's a particular psalm that reminds you of yourself or another person, let's write your name next to it. Then as we're going through the Bible, we could see, oh, there's Kelsey's name, there's Gretchen's name. And next to that, and I'll just shoot up a quick prayer, read that psalm, and lift that person up in prayer. And so I had forgotten that I even mentioned that. But I have people's names near Psalms here, so when I run into it, it comes back. But this person reminded me of it. She hasn't been here. She's moved over to Syracuse. She's a Spanish teacher for Port Byron, but got relocated. And Mrs. Vanderstyle, Holly, some of you know as, she sent a text in the morning. She says, I found my psalm. I'm like, what? You know, I'm trying to think, what is she talking about? She never communicates with me at all. She usually communicates with Gretchen, but she was giving me feedback on that particular invitation. Her particular psalm was Psalm 54. And it had to do a lot with 83 about having this powerful presence of God do the battle for you. Having Jehovah on the scene. Having it rain. And that 900 chariots get stuck and see the enemy defeated. Psalm 54, she woke up in the middle of the night and that was broadcast to her. She simply woke up and she heard it like on loudspeakers. Psalm 54. And okay, she read it and it was something very applicable to what was happening in her life. And it was very true, and she latched a hold of that, and so excited. She shared it with us yesterday. And so praise God for those kind of things. That was very encouraging to hear that. But there is Jehovah. There is the powerful God. There is the one that we really do rise to the occasion when he enters the room and recognize that this is God. He's the one. He's the ultimate judge. And man is really poor at it. In fact, we're not even supposed to do it. That's where Jesus comes into the play when he talks about, ye shall not judge. Judge not. For the same ruler that you measure everyone with, it's like a rubber ruler that's pretty corrupt. It says it's going to come back to you, so better just hide that thing. It's better just put it under the blood. You know. And so there's a time and place for that, though. As poor as that rubber ruler is, as broken as that rubber ruler is, God would still lift up and ordain us to use that to manage each other and have government. Romans 13 talks about that. We can go there. We have a little time for that. Romans 13, please. In the first few verses there. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Those are pretty strong words. That convinces me to whoops sometimes and sidestep my little thing, a soapbox, and get right back into prayer, praying for those people and praying for our brothers and sisters that are in the halls of Congress. Yeah. You know, that are conducting. Praise God that there's prayer meetings going on there. Mm-hmm. That there's brothers and sisters that we have that are there that pray every day. Mm-hmm. So lift them up, lift up the people that represent us. All of that is good. Praise you, Lord God. Strong, strong words. Strong words. Why? Because it's very easy, isn't it? It's very easy to start complaining and whining. It's very easy to say, well, I'm not going to pay my taxes, but it addresses that right here too. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. There's the aspect of not approving wickedness. Where ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Here is the defending. Here is the delivering of the poor. Conscience sake, the things that are right to do. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute, verse 7, to whom tribute is due, custom to where custom is, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor is. That's why we rise when a judge comes in the courtroom, but he's a little G. That's why we say, yes, sir, the police officer, but he's a little G. That's why we respect our parents and honor our mother and father, but they're little G's. Render therefore all to their dues, the tribute taxes, pay for it gratefully because God has ordained it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, our country. What's going on in our country? Not much, huh? In God we trust. I broke into a little bit about that. It's exciting. In fact, Florida last year, was last February. Got a couple of native Floridian, or new native. They've been, how long do you have to be there before you're a native? Never mind. In God we trust. Anyway, they passed a bill that every school has to have that prominently displayed. I don't know how much trouble it caused down there, if you remember that being announced, but we heard about it up here in New York anyway. We were rejoicing. But that was last February. Florida passed a law. They didn't rescind it that I know of. As far as I know, it's been a law passed that they've got to prominently display in every public school. So that's awesome. What's not so awesome is in the past decade or two even that I've witnessed with these own eyes is the Ten Commandments being wheeled out of courtrooms. That's not good. That's not good at all. I am happy that we're leaving in God and trust, and in God we trust over everything. The Ten Commandments were a little bit more specific, though.
little more specific to this Jehovah God that has laid down these laws of what's right and wrong. This is the mooring and foundation that our country really needs to have. So where you have the opportunity to vote, where you have the opportunity to support that reconnection to those things, our country will benefit. That's a promise. Where we separate ourselves from God in His ways and we become an island, we will have that darkness that talks about in Psalm 82, and that confusion and that weirdness that we seem to experience at this time. Alabama's law currently, passing a law about abortion, and you might have heard of that in the news, to completely rescind it in no circumstances. Why would they make such a law like that? Why are they pursuing it? Why do we pursue this? Why is it a problem? Is it because Bud thinks so? Is it because that person sitting over there thinks so? No, because these things come, this idea of morality comes from a God who is a moral God, who has written, "Thou shalt not kill." In that, we recognize that whatever the situation is, and this is how it works. This is the difference between little g and big G. God says, "Thou shalt not kill." And little g comes over here and says, "What about this situation and this situation and that situation? What about after 2 days, 3 days, 4 days?" That's the little g talking. You hear it? And the big G said, "Thou shalt not kill." This is life. Jehovah says, "This is life." So as long as we are able, as little g's, to recognize that we are taking a life, when we pull that life out of the womb of the mother, that we are terminating a life. As long as we don't remove ourselves from that truth, whatever decisions we make, we need to face that in the mirror, that we are terminating a life. What about this situation? What about that situation? A life is being terminated. That has to be, that's the dominion. That's Jehovah. God has entered the courtroom. A life is being terminated. Okay? In your decisions and all the things that are decided upon, realize that's what you're up against. God's righteousness. That shapes things. Yeah, we got to make tough decisions. And there's going to be tough things to be decided upon. But that shapes everything. When we say we can't have church and state, that's great. Yeah, the government, we shouldn't have a church of Trump, and we shouldn't have a picture of Trump in here, and church, and he creates all the churches. That's what it's about. It's not about separating ourselves from the righteousness which God has declared. Our government is founded on that. Judeo-Christian principles. The Ten Commandments didn't get snuck in there to the courtrooms. It wasn't like, "Whoa, who put that in here?" There's a reason they're in there. Let's take a look at Exodus 18. Back to the discussion of Elohim. This idea of being judged, being having this power to make a decision. Here we see one of the first governments in man's history being risen up. Here we're in Exodus, just the book after Genesis. Exodus 18, and Moses was like, "Oh my goodness, these people don't know what bathroom to use." And it was just so confusing. There was so much going on. And when Moses' father-in-law, praise God for father-in-laws to say the words when they need to, praise God for fathers and father-in-laws to step in when the young buck is kind of struggling there. When Moses' father-in-law saw all he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from this morning to evening?" That's pretty rough. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me, and they inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and the other, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." No separation there. Moses is a representation of the law of God. Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that you have done is not good," that is, doing it all yourself. "Thou wilt surely wear away, both you and this people that is with thee.
For this thing is too heavy for thee, thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. So you see the birth of a government here. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. And this is key right here. This is what it means to have a proper government. A proper, oriented, with good foundations government. It's not about Kelsey's opinion. It's not about the guy in the street corner's opinion. It's not even we, the people. Okay, it's founded on these godly principles right here. God is the one. Hearken now unto my voice. By the way, we the people have spoken and said that God has given us these unalienable rights. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God word, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. The connection between God and man governing people is right there in Exodus 18, verse 19, and it is key to the United States of America remaining healthy and whole and returning to a healthy, whole state. Repentance is bringing this back where we can. Praise God for the passage of Florida's law. Praise God for Alabama. Praise God for the fronts that are pursuing these things. Support them. Be involved. Encourage them. Pray for them. But Paul, what about this? What about that? Well, we're little G's. We're going to mess up. We're not going to do it perfectly right. But to the degree we can, yield to Jehovah God in his ways and represent him, not my opinions, we'll be okay, and we'll prosper. In the middle of all of this, if some things that were spoken this morning offend you, if some of the things disturb you, Psalm 84 is there for you to find respite, to find rest, because ultimately all these little G's got to bow the knee before God. Ultimately, this is where our bread is buttered. It's not having the greatest government in the world. It's not perfecting through great government. It's getting in relationship with God. And Psalm 84 brings us back to calibration. Maddie spoke of it this week with the kids at youth group a couple different times of calibration. Psalm 84 is one of calibration because these issues in this sin-fallen, ridden world will cause you to get into a place of going into apostasy. Hear me out. This is a warning. The evil in this world will cause you to go in a direction of shrinking back, your love growing cold. You will get cynical. You will shrink back and get quiet and stop engaging. Psalm 84. How amiable, how wonderful, how delightful are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. This is the calibration. When it's confusing, when you don't know whether to call him her or her him, whether that him, her just went into the bathroom with my little child is in there. Do I run in and... When our nation seems to be coming apart at the seams, when I feel like shrinking back, when anger is rising up, I need to go into Psalm 84. I need to go into this amiable place, the tabernacles of the Lord. You will shrink away. You will fall away if you don't get here. Don't spend yourself burning yourself out on the causes of man, the little G stuff. As important as it is and the things that I mentioned, it is not as important as Psalm 84. CNN, Fox News, go on a diet. Be careful with that. Ticker thing blowing on the top of the screen, and there's one news event, and you got another one because you can't get enough at once. You got one for your left eye and one for your right eye, and then you got the ticker type. Time to go to Psalm 84.
How wonderful, how delightful it is to hear the saints sing this morning, to join together in voices, to hear a prayer request, to hear the testimonies, to hear the word come out of believers. Lord God, how wonderful, how amiable, how loving are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. You can imagine how thirsty we get when we've been through these situations. Maybe it's with family and it's like, oh my goodness, this child is doing this and this uncle is doing this and this person's going in this direction and my niece just married this other girl and all this is going on and you're like, my soul longs, even faints for the courts. God, just get me back to the water of the word. Get me back to that refreshing place of your presence, God, where all things become sane and stable and the light comes in, as was read and shared about. A lot of verses about light shared this morning. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. That's a normal thing. Just make sure you don't faint and stay fainted. Faint and crawl, or have your brother and sister, if you see a brother and sister down, bring them in. Surround them with worship. Surround them with the word of God. Bring them in, pray over them. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. Yes, the sparrow has found a house and the swallow a nest. I love my favorite bird. For herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah, doesn't get old. God doesn't get old. How can something infinite get old? Keeps unraveling and unraveling and unraveling. Can you imagine if he gave us the capacity to understand everything all at once, you know? But we wanted that. We wanted a little bit more. There was something that was being withheld from us, right? And that back in Genesis, and it's like, yeah, maybe there's something in that apple. There's something in that fruit. You know, there's something there. There's something more. It doesn't get old with God. Don't be looking for it in other places. Don't listen to the enemy saying that you can find it here apart from God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them who passes through the valley of Baca. Make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength. That sounds great. I want to be on that plan. Even as Patty read from Ecclesiastes, there's a reference to growing old, and we were talking about that a little bit earlier before that. But as a believer, we actually go from strength to strength. In our weakness even, of old age or whatever it is, His strength is perfected in us. We go from strength to strength. You can't lose. Sign me up for that. I already did. Through the precious blood of Jesus on the cross. I forgot. My name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. I've signed up for it by saying, yes, I confess that I'm a sinner. Jesus, I invite you not just to become into my life, but to take over my life, to give me new life, Lord God. I invite you in. And you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You become to know, known of God, and you know Him. We go from strength to strength. And verse 7, Psalm 84 says, every one of them in Zion appears before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. That was the biggest number that you would come up with in the Hebrew, so you could put whatever number you want there. It's better than any number you want to come up with. A day in the courts of God is better than a thousand elsewhere, is the idea there, outside of God.
The devil will say, well, the grass is greener. Empty promise. Good liar, he's been doing it for a long time. He's had a lot of practice at it. Don't you believe it? A day in thy courts is better than 1,000 outside. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he uphold for them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Don't forget to come back to that place when this world has you confused and discouraged. Terry read that this morning from one of the Psalms. It was like, why am I discouraged? What's going on inside of me? I'm going to put my hope in God. What does that mean? I'm going to go to the tabernacle. I'm going to get in the presence of God. I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start singing. I'm going to surround myself with a belief and trust that God is my strength. I'm going to read a verse and stand on it. I'm going to say it. God, make this part of my life. Make this word real to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As Paul shared, the peace of God will surround you, this God of peace. Let's not lose sight of that Elohim, the Creator who created man in his image, made him in his image, so that he would have relationship with us. Just that thought brings peace to me. Because that just goes underneath all of the other stuff. It's foundational. God wants me to know him, and he wants to know me. To be invited into my mind, to be invited into every situation, and not to exclude him. Thank you, Father God, for this time in your word. We pray as this last song. I didn't take the cue. Were you planning on it?
Whatever.
All right. Let us delight in you, Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a land that is troubled, it is facing difficult things, but we live in a place also that we're witnessing chariots getting stuck in the mud. We're witnessing your mighty hand at work, Lord God, and we want to join in league with that and say, God, move upon this land. We say, God, give an ear and listen, Lord Jesus, to your people crying out. You would make a change, Lord God, that we'd get connected again. We'd wheel those Ten Commandments back in to their rightful place, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with that. God, help us as a nation, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, those that are fallen into the place of apostasy, you've grown cold, you've watched too much of the news, you've become bitter and cynical, and you've done nothing but wag your head every day. Start saying yes. Wag your head the other way towards the Lord and his way. Lord, use me. Make me more like you today, Lord Jesus, in this situation. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thousands elsewhere.
praise the Lord. You might see people having conversations. That's normal at the church. That's called fellowship. That's good to happen. But don't leave here without getting prayed for. If there's something, we're needy. We're all needy. Don't neglect that. Don't think you're different, because we're all in that boat. We're all falling short. There's great need, and God has appointed government. He says, the two or more gather. This is the church. How government works in the church. Two or more gather in my name. There he is in the presence. So we could have people gather around you and pray and defend, deliver, and come against the wickedness. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are in our midst during these times. Awesome things happen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 This time,